There are dire warnings that New South Wales will be hit by increasingly extreme weather.
2015 was the hottest year since climate records began.
Your show this July was the single hottest month in recorded history.
Australia sweltered through its hottest spring on record.
Climate change is now affecting every country on every continent.
The rate that's a great concern.
And what do you put that rate down to?
Oh, it's human activity.
We have everything we need. Some still doubt that we have the will to act. But I say the will to act is itself a renewable resource.
Hello and welcome to Climactic, a podcast on the Climactic Collective, a group of independent podcasters from across the range of the climate communities of Australia and New Zealand. Every week on Climactic, rain or shine, we either produce or feature an episode of a climate-engaged podcast. This could be from one of the shows on the Climactic Collective or beyond, and you'll always find a link to the show we're featuring at the top of the show notes. My name is Mark, and I'm the publisher of the Climactic Collective and of this show. And if you ever have any questions, I'm always reachable at hello@climactic.fm. This introduction was recorded on the lands of the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I wish to acknowledge this is stolen land, and sovereignty was never ceded. Hello and welcome to Climactic, the flagship podcast of the Climactic Collective, an independent group of trans-Tasman podcasts all at the intersection of the climate crisis. This week's episode has a theme, and that theme is food, and namely food security. As I record this, it's the 27th of March, and that means the Russian invasion of Ukraine is just over a month old. We watch, transfixed and horrified by the events on the ground in Ukraine, but also read very worrying news about the outlook of the wheat harvest in Russia and Ukraine. And there's never been a clearer warning sign of needing to know where our food comes from and if those sources are secure. So before I hand over to the meat of the episode, as it were, and I know I've got a lot of vegetarian and vegan listeners, so meat meaning, of course, the bulk of the program, not the protein. I just wanted to let you know about an amazing ABC radio doco from friend of the show, Jess Fairfax, that recently launched this week, all about the market gardens of Werribee South, a region just as far from Melbourne's CBD as I am on the east side of the bay. But on the west side of the bay, Werribee South produces a majority of our cauliflower, lettuce, and other produce within sight of the city. This documentary is called The Last Chance Lands, and you can find it as the top link in the show notes. I highly recommend you check out this beautiful, informative, historical look at a very serious topic of food security. And now for the main event, I'll hand over to Robert McLean for an episode of Climate Conversations and a recent interview he conducted with the team behind the Seymour Alternative Farming Festival. Enjoy.
If you're a farmer and you want to know something, anything about climate change, well, you're in luck, as Farmers for Climate Action are coming to the Goulburn Valley, and they're coming with a bang. First, they'll be at the Seymour Alternative Farming Expo on April 1, 2, and 3. And then they'll take a roadshow that will go to Seymour, Euroa, Kyabram, Shepparton, Echuca, Yarrawonga. This episode of Climate Conversations is something of a mixture. First, we talk with the events manager from McPherson Media, Jamie Gilbert. And Jamie has played a key role in setting up the Seymour Alternative Farming Expo. The Seymour event is on April 1, 2, and 3. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Farmers for Climate Action will have a stand at that event for all 3 days. And later in this podcast, we'll get to talk to Farmers for Climate Action's outreach officer, Peter Holding. He will explain what's happening in Seymour and then talk about the roadshow that is set up to visit 6 venues in the Goulburn Valley. Next, we talk with Jamie Gilbert, who has played a key role in setting up the Seymour Alternative Farming Expo. Is it a McPherson Media event?
Yeah, so it's owned by McPherson Media Group. The business that actually owns it is called MMG Events Proprietary Limited, so which is a subsidiary company of Shepparton Newspapers. So,
and so, how long have you been running it?
So we've owned the event since 2015.
But it's 31 years old, I understand, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a funny one. So it's 30 years of the expo, but this is the 31st event.
Oh, okay.
Because obviously your first event is like on zero. You got your first event the first time you run. So so it's celebrating its 30th year.
Yeah.
30 years, but this will be the 31st event.
And from what I can read, last year you moved it to April, and that was a bit of a change, wasn't it, something?
Yeah, so that was really COVID enforced or COVID restriction enforced. So we looked at it in sort of November and went, we just don't see how we're going to get approval from the government to be able to execute this in February. It just looked really difficult. And that was sort of October, November 2020. So we made a conscious decision to move the date of the event, thinking that maybe things will be a bit clearer in April. And in fact, they were, and we were able to run a really successful event in April. And the weather was very kind to us. The event was extremely successful in April. So we're giving it another crack in April this year as well. And it doesn't suit all of our exhibitors, but it does suit the majority of our exhibitors. So, we'll see how that goes for 2022. But that it would most likely be a long-term change to a sort of a more autumn-based event.
You mentioned exhibitors. How many of them do you have, Jamie?
So we've got about 400 exhibitors, give or take, across about 350 sites. So some exhibitors do share sites and bits and pieces. So, about 400 different companies on site across the space at Kings Park.
So has it grown a fair bit?
I think it certainly has from a few different viewpoints. Certainly exhibitors have grown a little bit. We had a lot less exhibitors in 2021 last year, and that was really COVID-based. We had a lot of businesses that sort of couldn't attend, weren't prepared to attend based on the pandemic, or didn't have stock and bits and pieces. So we're probably not quite back to our full potential as we've been prior to the pandemic, but we're certainly a lot closer to that this year. But I think the growth that we've seen is certainly in patronage of people coming through the gates, but also the the attractions and the programming that we do. So the money that we invest to make sure people have a really fun day at the event, and we've got some new sort of programming this year, which is we've got the North Victorian Axemen doing wood chopping competitions this year, and we've also got some agricultural drone demonstrations on the main oval. So this, and we've invested heavily in both of those this year to really bring a new element to the event.
Is there one event of the whole 3 days that appeals to you mostly?
For me, it's the education sessions that I find the most appealing to go and listen to. When I get time, when I'm not managing the event, I try and sneak into some of those. So listening to people talking about building houses with hemp, or how to run a successful bee colony in your backyard, how to farm chooks. So some of those sort of more, alternative farming sessions. And then I always try and sneak in and listen to some of our more pure agricultural sessions, which are run by the Seymour Ag Society, which is about farming cattle, farming alpacas, animal health, nutrition, and that sort of stuff. So they're probably the things that I suppose separates our event a bit from other things. The ones that I get the most excited about is just finding new businesses to come and grab an audience and let them just talk about what it is that they're doing and how that benefits the people that are coming to the event.
I just looked at your website and it's not too bad, is it? And the program that falls out.
Yeah. So we just loaded the program before. We've got a bit more to go, just to load up this week to put a bit more content in there. Now we've sort of finished all our official program work. But, it's a lot happening. We're a small team, but we put a lot of effort into trying to sort of, create the best show that appeals to a vast audience. We think that, and you'll see that in the program, that if you're a mum and dad with kids on a quarter acre block in Seymour, in Shepparton, or in Yarrawonga, you'll get something out of the event. And if you're actually come from a small or medium sized farm, you'll get even more out of the event as well. So there's really something in it for everyone, and that's the way we try and build the show to make sure it's got a wide appeal, and it's not just just an ag show or just a, you know, a carnival show. It's got a lot in it for everyone.
So where do the people come from? Any idea?
Yeah, well, we've done a lot of survey work over since we took over the event back in 2015. So the results are fairly consistent, and it's a so roughly works out to be about 55 to 60% of our audience comes from north, comes from Seymour or north of Seymour, and the remaining sort of come from south of Seymour. So the outskirts of Melbourne, you know, Macedon Ranges, Yarra Valley. That, you know, those sort of outlying areas, you know, a few from Melbourne come through, and then obviously the north of Seymour is really sort of mapping that sort of Goulburn Valley, and northeast Victoria. So surprisingly, we get a lot of people from sort of that Yarrawonga, Albury, Wodonga, sort of, you know, that sort of Wangaratta region. So probably more of a showcase of the type of farms that are up that way.
Does your event compete with any other events?
I think it does. You know, there's obviously some larger agricultural shows. So the week before our event this year, there's Farm World down at Warrigal. It's an event that's agricultural based and a field day. We probably have different audiences, but I think the biggest competition really comes from what are people going to spend their money on that weekend? Are they going to come to Seymour? Are they going to go to the footy in Melbourne? Are they going to go to, you know, what other things can they do to, you know, can they do to invest their money instead of coming to Seymour? So that's really where we feel that, you know, our competitors are, what else could you be doing? You know, I think the International Flower and Garden Show's on in the lead up to our event as well. So that's a fairly significant event in Melbourne. So, you know, we've got lots of different levels of competition, agricultural shows being one of those.
You're an alternative expo, aren't you? So, like, you focus on alternative type events and things.
Yeah, that's where the traditional event has been built by Colin and Bev Stray, the previous owners that we purchased the event off. And they've done a fantastic job in probably a really sweet spot at that time where alternative and diversification of farming was extremely strong, and there was lots of new and interesting ideas. And, you know, that's sort of the alpacas and emus and, you know, tree plantations and almonds and olives and, you know, some of those things that we probably weren't well known for in Australia at that time. So that was 1991 that event started. So I think what's happened, solar energy was a massive part of the event early on. A lot of these things have turned mainstream or have become not alternative anymore. So I think our biggest challenge as an event is always to try and find things that are either alternative or help farmers diversify their financial interests on farm. And that's always our biggest challenge each year because there's not as many of those sort of burgeoning industries as there once was.
How many people turn up?
So we generally get between 18,000 to 20,000 patrons across the 3 days. And then there's obviously, you know, there's exhibitors, we, you know, across the event. There's probably 2,000 to 2,500 exhibitors on site across the event. You know, each site has, you know, between two to four people per site. So, yeah, but from a patronage point of view, it's about 18,000 to 20,000. Last year was a touch over 20,000, so which we thought was a pretty strong event and very big for the town of Seymour. Yeah, it's the biggest event in the Mitchell Shire, and the Mitchell Shire actually starts from just north of Craigieburn, effectively. So yeah, it's certainly a large show.
Is there something else you'd like to say about the expo?
Oh, look, I think the main thing that we like to try and get across is the impact that, I suppose, this event and our commitment to the Seymour, you know, to the Seymour town for this event and what it brings to Seymour, which I think sometimes is a little bit missed. You know, we engage in, I think it's about 30 different community groups who all get the chance to benefit financially from getting involved with us in the expo. And that could be from cooking a barbecue to delivering farm lectures and helping us, you know, from the Seymour Ag Society, helping us with our cattle, to the, you know, the footy club who runs our bar for us and a barbecue. And this year we've got, you know, we've got the junior footy club involved as well. We've got the scouts, we've got the swimming clubs. So we've got a lot of different community groups, RSL, Rotary, that our event financially benefits the Seymour Township in a really significant way. And that's probably the story that we like to also get across, because the event's fantastic. It's been running for a long time. We think it's, you know, it's growing. It gets stronger and stronger every year. But I think it's the impact that we make in that community that I think is the biggest part of what we do, and you know, and where we spend our money. Even this year, we've we've got most of our marquees being done by our local Seymour supplier. They've always been working with us, but we had it split across a couple of different businesses, and now we've brought it all back. So the guys in Seymour at the Marquee High Place in Seymour have got the whole of our business now, which is fantastic for their business too, because we do invest quite a lot in infrastructure to build that event. So we've built our own ticket boxes this year because we couldn't hire them anymore. So and all that work's been done by two local Seymour businesses, pretty much, who we're investing the money with, and we bought the existing site building off a family in Seymour. So, you know, everything we do is to try and benefit the Seymour community as best we can. And obviously, as a media group, we own we have assets in Seymour. We own the Seymour Telegraph, and so we're pretty committed to the township as well.
Thank you, Jamie. It should be an exciting and fulfilling 3 days at Seymour on April 1, 2 and 3, that's Friday, Saturday and Sunday. You'll find a link to the expo in the show notes. Farmers for Climate Action is a national organisation with a burgeoning membership, and it will be represented at the 3-day Seymour event. A research officer with Farmers for Climate Action, Peter Holding, was kind enough to have a chat with me about what was happening at Seymour. We got off to a bit of a shaky start, though, because Peter was talking about a roadshow that his organisation is bringing to the Goulburn Valley. We finally got on to the Seymour event. However, I'll put a link to Farmers for Climate Action in the show notes, and you can find out the details of the Goulburn Valley roadshow, along with learning something about the group itself. So hopefully you can sort this all out. Let's have a listen now.
Right. Well, the whole concept of the expo is to have small, somewhat intimate meetings with our members. So that's why we're having six meetings in the Goulburn Valley, and they're not that far apart, but we could do it in one huge meeting, except we wouldn't be able then to have the sort of discussions we want to have with our members to find out what their real issues are. So we're going to have six meetings, and we're going to probably get somewhere between 15, 20 people at each meeting, I would imagine, maybe a few more.
Mm.
Hopefully it won't be too many.
So what will actually happen at those events?
Oh, well, the same as we did up in the Northern Rivers just before the floods hit. We're trying to build the resilience of people in the face of climate change, but we do that by making sure they're connected, letting them know what we can and what we can't do, and trying to build a network so that when something happens or they have an issue, we know how to advance that issue in their area. It's all about just getting to know our members, really. It's about...
How many of these events you're having?
We're having six.
And where are they? Where are they, Pete?
They're in Seymour, Euroa, Shepparton, Echuca, Yarrawonga and Kyabram.
And are they free for people to attend?
Oh, yeah, they're free to anybody who wants to come along. You got it. Yes, we would like people to RSVP, only so that we can organise catering and how big a room and all that sort of stuff.
You can RSVP through your Farmers of Climate Action website, I assume.
Through the website, yeah, yeah. If you haven't, I've sent out letters to all our members in the area. So anybody should have got one of those. Are you in that area or not?
Well, I've already registered for the one in Shepparton, so.
Oh, okay. So yes. So anybody who wants to register can either, if they're not members, they're perfectly free to come along. It doesn't cost anything to become a member either. They can look up the Farmers for Climate Action website, go to the events page, and they will see it there, Goulburn Valley.
So will there anything specific be talked about or?
Well, not specifically, no, not really. We're open to a wide range of discussion. I mean, one of the issues is that the issues vary depending on where you are in the state or in the country. We're trying to work. We've just got a new strategic plan that's working on community engagement and working on connecting with politicians. And the other thing we want to do is community-based renewable energy. But we need to find out if our farmer members actually want that to happen, or if they do, can we assist them in it?
Do you have any farmer members in the Goulburn Valley?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know exactly how many. I'd have to look it up. But
lots.
We would have sent out, I don't know. We drew circles around the town, and I think there'd be thousands.
Really?
There'd be probably 1,000 at least. I could tell you if I worked it out.
Yeah.
But we have done a lot of work in that area, sort of through central Victoria. Gippslands and other areas got a lot.
So beyond anything else, it's about telling these farmers, we've got your back.
Yeah, but we want to be honest about that. We're a small organisation and we're working on climate change. You know, if you want something done about sheep genetics, well, best go to MLA or somebody like that. Yes. But, there's a limit to what we can do. But, we do try and help our members. If members ring us up and they have a problem that we can't solve, we try and find somebody who can and put them in touch.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Pete, can you tell me about what's happening at Seymour, the alternative farming expo?
Yes, well, we've got a stall there, and we'll be manning that. I don't know much about what the actual expo is going to do. I'm not involved in organising that.
No, I appreciate that. I'm just the farming thing is just again providing a service for the members of your organisation. So,
that's what we're trying to do. I mean, it's a very it's a very stressful time, I think, for a lot of farmers. There's high costs and, you know, some areas are still having dry periods and others have got too much water. So, we need to work out what we can do to help those farmers. Do we need to put them in touch with the various state government bodies that are helping them, or do we need to organise meetings with their local member to let them know what they need?
I've been co-opted to help with the Farmers for Climate Action stand at Seymour. I'm not a farmer, but I have a deep interest in climate matters. I'm sure we can explore many, many issues. Issues that concern the farmer and issues that concern the non-farmer. Issues which I feel are closely intertwined. And in talking with Peter about being on the FCA stand, he said,
try and let them know that we have a lot of resources, so we're a science-based organisation, so if you've got a scientific problem, give us a call or talk to us about it, because we know lots of scientists in CSIRO and ANU and Melbourne University all over the place.
When you say give us a call, the number they should call will be on the website, I imagine.
Or call me.
Okay.
Either way. I do most of the... most of that sort of call. So if you call in to the info line or you go in through the website, it'll eventually find its way to my desk, I would think.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So if anybody wants to, if anybody's got an agricultural question they want to discuss, I'm happy to discuss it with them.
Mm. Oh, that's great.
Other than that, you know, we want people to probably read our supply chain report, and before everybody tells us that we produce enough food for 60 million people, which I've been told for the last 40 years going to uni, that is in fact the case, but we sell it to the highest bidder, so there's an awful lot of people even in Australia who are now struggling to...
So it's sort of effectively going overseas or somewhere? Or...
Oh, yeah, most of our wheat and our grain, like our major products are wool, wheat and meat.
Mm.
Nearly all of it goes overseas.
Yeah.
So, I think that's why people are saying, we're all going veggie. Well, yeah, people are looking after their health and eating less meat. But there's a fair component of, I can't afford to eat it 5 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, you try paying $50 a kilo, you won't eat it every day for every meal.
Yeah, I heard a bloke on the radio yesterday said he just had a couple of bits of fillet steak cost him $35 or something.
Yeah, and that would be reasonably cheap.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought, yeah, it's not too bad.
the, the price of meat is going through the roof. So, you know, like people will eat more beans and lentils and things like that, which Australian farmers are starting to grow more of. But, yeah, most of our stuff, like all the split lentils, most of them go to either go overseas to be processed and they're then brought back, which is something we'd like to see change. We'd like to see more processing like SPC and Shepparton done in Australia, mainly for jobs and shortage of supply chain and security and all those sorts of things. But or they send the raw material over, like all our wheat. A fair bit of our bread is made from wheat that we grow that goes to Indonesia to be turned into flour and comes back here to be made into bread. I mean, it's just kind of stupid, isn't it?
It's pretty crazy, isn't it? It's pretty crazy. Make a note in your diary. Do it now. You don't want to forget. The Seymour Alternative Farming Expo. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, April 1, 2 and 3. The Seymour Alternative Farming Expo. Something really different. And something worth getting along to. Climate Conversations is published with the support of the Mark Spencer published Climactic Collective. And it's just one of more than 20 podcasts making up that collective. More about the collective and the associated podcasts can be found at climactic.fm. Music for Climate Conversations is from the Melbourne-based group Music for a Warming World. You can find a link to that group in the episode notes. Responsibility for Climate Conversations rests with me. But you could help with the questions. And if there is something specific that needs addressing, but the question is not being asked of whom it should be asked, please make a suggestion and send it to r.mclean7@icloud.com. Earlier episodes of Climate Conversation can be found at the Climactic website. Simply search for climactic.fm. Go to the Climate Conversations artwork, click on that, and there you will find all the earlier episodes. Beyond that, in all this climate chaos, remember just a few things. Put your faith in genuine climate science. Also, action is the best antidote to despair, and that, I must add, is one of the drivers of this podcast. And remember, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. That ends this episode of Climate Conversations. Thanks so much for your company, and until we talk again, please take care.
This show is produced by Hear Media, a boutique audio agency in Narm, Melbourne. To learn more and get in touch, head to hearmedia.studio. That's HERE media.studio.